Let's head to the movies with Jason DeRosso, our resident film critic here on RN. Jason, good morning.
G'day, Fran.
This week, a big-budget CGI spectacular shot in Melbourne. It's called I, Frankenstein. Is it a Hollywood blockbuster or an Australian one, Jason?
Look, it's an American-Australian co-pro. It's a Hollywood film, but it's got, you know, a very strong Australian taste to it, flavour to it. It's written and directed by an Australian, co-written at least. His name's Stuart Beattie. He directed the adaptation of John Marsden's Tomorrow When the War Began, just to put him in context. You might remember that from a couple of years ago. But an international cast with Bill Nye, Aaron Eckhart, who plays Frankenstein's monster, Miranda Otto, Yvonne Strahovski. It's based on a graphic novel, and essentially it's about Frankenstein's monster, played by Aaron Eckhart, who finds himself in a world a lot like our own, but it is in fact Melbourne, kind of given a sort of Matrix treatment, you know, made to look a bit like Sydney looked in the Matrix, sort of all gossed up. Mm. And he finds himself in between a war between two supernatural groups that live amongst us mere mortals, the gargoyles, who are the good guys, and the demons, who are headed by Bill Nye. And pretty soon, you know, he has to make a decision as to which side he wants to be on. Look, it's a very kind of camp gothic thriller, and Bill Nye leads the cast in campness, I think, as the evil villain who wants to find out the secret to reanimating the dead so he can sort of build an army of zombies to take over the world. Here he is talking to his attractive blonde scientist underling, played by Yvonne Strahovski.
If Frankenstein was real, if he really did animate a human, would it help you to study it?
Well, yes, absolutely. But, Mr. Wessex, it would have to be over 200 years old by now. There would be nothing left but a few brittle bones.
It's the first and only one of its kind, Dr. Wade.
Who's to say how long such a subject might live?
Bill Nye, I do love him. Quite a cast, Jason. Was this one going to take the box office by storm, do you think?
I do not think so, unfortunately.
You don't think so?
For a local production, which cost, you know, upwards of around $60 million, employed a lot of people. Now, look, it's not well-directed in terms of the action sequences. The dialogue's pretty wooden. I mean, Bill Nye there is kind of, I think, the pick of the cast, because at least, even though his lines are pretty, you know, old and sort of dog-eared, he sort of injects this camp Hammer horror-esque energy into them. But apart from that, look, the film's pretty uninspired. I, Frankenstein, it is really a disappointment, I'm afraid.
Okay, well, a world away from camp horror-esque CGI movies, also released this week. The first film, I think, ever to be entirely made in Saudi Arabia and made by a woman. This sounds like a groundbreaking movie just on that basis, Jason. Is there more to it?
Yeah, well, when I'd heard about this, I thought, wow, interesting. And already, you know, it's a great achievement, but perhaps the film won't be that great. The film actually is quite extraordinary. It's a lovely film in a kind of neo-realist style about a 10-year-old girl called Wadja, that's the name of the film as well, Wadja, who wants to get a bike and wants to race the boy next door, but her mother forbids her because riding bikes is not what young girls do in Saudi Arabia. So rather than take her mother's word, she finds other ways to earn the money with various sort of schoolyard schemes, getting together a whole heap of sort of pocket money. But what's interesting is that in the background to this story about this plucky, young, very likable girl is a much darker story and a kind of more moving story about a family kind of falling apart. Wadja's dad is going to marry another woman, and so he's essentially leaving Wadja and her mother behind. And so there's a really interesting sort of strong feminist subtext to this film. And even though Wadja on one level as a character is, you know, as I say, so plucky and so sort of cute and irreverent even, there is something darker going on as well. So it's a lovely balance between the light and the shade in the film. And there's even a point at which, you know, mother and daughter united against the world remind you a little bit of De Sica's father and son in The Bicycle Thief. So look, it's a wonderful film, this. And the director has an Australian connection, actually. She did her master's in film here at Sydney University. So, quite extraordinary film because it is the first to come out of Saudi Arabia and so forth. But also just besides that, it's a wonderful piece of entertainment, a really well-made debut feature.
Look, Jason, before I let you go, I wouldn't mind squeezing a little bit about another film, a Cambodian movie about the Khmer Rouge made with clay figurines.
Yeah, if you're living in a capital city, you can catch this. This was Cambodia's first ever entry into the Oscar, into the Oscars. It was nominated for Best Foreign Film Oscar. It didn't win, of course. Wonderful sort of essay memoir film made by a French Cambodian who lost his whole family to the Khmer Rouge. And he tells the story via archival footage, propaganda footage of the time, and these miniature dioramas he makes with these hand-carved clay figurines, which kind of start to symbolise the characters in his reminiscences. It is a powerful film, poetic, and it's a kind of edge-of-your-seat experience in a kind of intellectual way too. It is wonderfully moving, though, about a very dark period in 20th century history. Totally recommend it. A great companion piece, perhaps, to Joshua Oppenheimer's film about Indonesian war criminals that came out earlier in the year, The Act of Killing.
Okay, Jason, thank you.
You're welcome.
Jason DeRosso, RN's film critic. You can hear more from Jason on the movies, The Final Cut, tonight at 9:45. And featuring tonight an interview with the female director of that Saudi film, Haifa Al-Mansour is her name.